Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast program. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery, leadership revolution, and life success. Learn something new from our mentoring conversation today.
It was really eye-opening for me to hear from people who grew up as believers in this huge institution, the Catholic Church, and for me to be able to listen in to your private beliefs being kind of questioned and shattered, and to be able to help shed some light, but also to hear the beautiful truths that each of you, Mike and Nancy, were able to share. I did a lot of listening as well as talking, and thank you very much for the privilege of being in on this deep and necessary conversation.
Welcome, everybody, to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy. Oh, we've got so much to talk about. I've got some good news. We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast is now in 7 directories. So you can find me on Apple or iTunes, on Google Play Podcasts, on TuneIn Radio. So if you've got an Alexa or a Google Home or Cortana, or now Facebook has one of those voice systems. Anyways, you can just yell out, "We Mentor Mondays with Nancy," and you'll get one of the latest show on TuneIn Radio. I'm excited about that. We're on Stitcher, Spotify, Blueberry Directory, and iHeartRadio has like 1,000 channels. So there's so many ways that you can listen to podcasts now. It's so awesome. And if you've got a mobile phone and you want to keep like your podcast shows in one area, there's a podcast app. So you can download just the shows that you want on that podcast app and click on your phone and you're good to go. Anytime, 24/7, you're listening. All right. So glad you're tuning in. And there's so many different ways that we can listen to our favorite podcasts. I hope We Mentor Mondays with Nancy's is one of yours. We have 3 again. I'm so excited. And Mike's on the other. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Nancy. How are you?
Good. Isn't that exciting?
It is indeed.
I know. It just keeps expanding. We have more and more places that we can get information.
That's great news. That's great news that just shouting is okay to get the podcast going in the next second. I mean, that's like chumps.
I know, right? You don't even have to. You can just yell while you're, you know, walking through a room.
Yes, absolutely. That's great.
Yeah. And we've got 3 sponsors for today's show, Payroll Vault. So Priscilla Vang owns a Payroll Vault franchise in St. Paul, Minnesota. They are a national franchise, so you can also get service there. You can click on the wementor.com. Well, I've got it in the show notes. You can just click on and go directly to Payroll Vault and get all your payroll services set up. And also, she does taxes. Priscilla is very versed in that, and she's just gone through some new classes. So she knows how to inform people about all the upcoming changes in our taxes this year. So check her out. And then secondly, it might be time for you to go to sales camp. Sharpen your sales skills with Ursula Menches. And after you've done that, you might need a back rub. So go to Great Metropolitan Back Rub if you're in the metro area. Otherwise, go to your favorite masseuse and get some good healing to your body. All right. There we go. I think now we're ready to start. So, Mike, before we add, Debbie Unterman's going to join us in the conversation. I was just wondering how you're doing, because we've had two tough conversations about what's going on. We've been talking about the Pennsylvania grand jury report, and we've had a little time in between our tapings. And I'm just wondering how you're doing. Do you feel better after talking about it, or?
I certainly feel better after talking about this because, you know, like in most situations, if you have it really killing you inside your heart and you can talk about it, at least talk about it with someone else or share about it, you feel better. But I must say at the same time that it's not just very easy, you know?
Yeah.
I'm a man of a certain age. I was born and grew totally in Catholic Church and spent a great deal of my time and all of that in the church. It's not a piece of cake when you have to receive a blow like that. So it's still, you know, troubling me.
Yeah. You know? It's a long process to try to get
our
terms. Yeah. And you're rumbling with your feelings, trying to figure out what you should do.
Exactly. And like in my case, I'm not only alone. I have kids that I brought to church, that I have to whom I taught on how to go to church and all these values, et cetera, et cetera. Even if I have to take my decision today, no matter what I, you know, what I decide, how am I going to handle it with my kids? Is it going to be a simple process? Am I going to be able to convince them about anything at all? It's really difficult.
Yeah.
So, simply said, I have to tell you that it's not easy.
Yeah. I've been sorting through it, too. I feel good to be talking about it on air, and I'm hoping that I'll get some more feedback once we air this podcast as well and people feel comfortable with responding to us. Part of the reason I invited Debbie Unterman onto our program is to help us and other people kind of process through what all this means, you know, if now that we know the playbook for concealing truth, and there's seven different ways in which the church acts, and I'll have them, and we'll be talking about them as well. It's really trying to figure out how to navigate through all of this, and how has it really affected us, because it's part of who we are. It's part of how we grew up.
Absolutely.
So I invited Debbie here to help us. She can shed some light, further light, from being a clinical hypnotherapist. She's also an author, mediator, speaker, and game inventor. She likes to help people see things clearly in some non-traditional ways. In her book, Talking to Myself, Learning to Love the Voices in Your Head, by the way, I recommend that book. It's really, really insightful. Debbie describes an array of characters she says we all have rattling around in our brains, such as the judge, the rebel, the victim, and maybe even a Ms. or Mr. Perfect. As a master alchemist and trainer, she's been delving inside people's heads for the last 34 years. She's achieved proven results with clients suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, sexual abuse, depression, codependency, phobias, anxiety, lack of direction, sex and relationship issues, and, you know, a whole host of other things. But even though she can help you work through your issues, she's very interested in creating a new paradigm, which she's taught me, which is playing through your issues. So she's doing this with hundreds of people who are playing her transformational board games of Clarity and Satori, the games of radical forgiveness. And for those who don't know, an alchemical hypnotherapist is an interactive trance state process that helps people heal root causes of emotional, physical, spiritual, and psychological issues. Debbie Unterman facilitates this timeless therapeutic practice by guiding clients to access their own positive inner resources, empowering her clients to love the voices in their heads. I have found my work with her to be very insightful and not scary at all, because she's such a trusting soul that she made it easy for me to kind of go into a trance-like state to sort through different pieces of what I'm going through.
Absolutely, absolutely. And from those who can remember, we heard Zabby here before, and she talked a lot, so she's a huge resource. She's a huge resource, and I'm sure she will have a lot to bring to this conversation, and people who are listening are going to be happy.
Yeah, the last time she was on our show was actually last November.
That was last November, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's good to have her back. Hey, Debbie.
Hey, the gang's all together again. Hi, Mike and
Debbie. That sounds like Debbie.
Yeah, that does, doesn't it? Well, welcome to the program.
Thank you. A little levity before we get into the heaviness, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because with any tough conversation, it's a conversation. We're taking risks to be vulnerable, to talk about what we're personally experiencing, so that it gives other people permission to start talking more about how they're working their way through all of the things that are in the news that have to do with sexual abuse, especially in the Catholic Church.
Yes, and especially the fact that it is done in secrecy and people are threatened to keep it a secret. And so I love that Mike already said he feels a little better just because he's been able to talk. And I know you're just going through, you know, the losing faith in the church that you were brought up in. But you're right. Even for someone who was abused, the idea of being able to say it is the beginning of healing, but there's a little bit more. There's one more step, being able to say it and be believed. That's really important. Mm-hmm.
That's what I feel so sad about with the survivors, is the lack of belief. And maybe I feel that for myself, that, you know, when you talk openly about, like, especially the grand jury report, when there's so much evidence, for people to even, you know, still not believe what you're saying is, you know, kind of, it makes it difficult to talk about. Or, like, I find that most people don't want to talk about it.
Be more of it. They just don't want to talk about it or to hear about it. You know, like an ostrich, they're just sticking their head in the sand. I don't know if they're literally not believing what the grand jury has said, or they just don't want you to remind them.
Well, I want to say that, again, it's not a piece of cake. It's not easy. It's like, you know, you are 30 years old, and I come and tell you, guess what? The person you've been calling your dad all these years is not your dad. You know?
Right. It would take a minute to get your head around that.
Actually, it would take a lot of time.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's what you mean, Nancy.
Yeah.
It's going to take a lot of time.
Yeah.
This is the truth. It doesn't matter, even if they bring you the, you know, DNA exams and all of that, it will still take a time. It's not going to be easy for you to reject that person or to say, to accept that they are not your daddy, despite all the proofs you might have. So I guess that's what most people are undergoing too. They just don't believe it. Not because they don't want to, but because it's so intense in them that it's not easy to let it go or to accept that reality.
Right, because to accept it, it means you might have to make some different decisions.
Absolutely. And that's where I was heading to. You might need to revise the whole process. You might need to take new decisions. What am I doing here? Am I sticking with this church? In which way, you know, okay, or am I going to have to change my attitude concerning some of the precepts, some of the doctrines or whatever? How often do I need to go to church? Do I have to stop going to church? You know, you start trying to figuring out what you actually might want to do.
Right. It reminds me of all the stages of grief. What you're saying there.
Exactly.
Is pretty much that you start with disbelief and then you might get angry about it. And, you know, you might go into, I don't remember what all the
bargaining,
stages,
bargaining. Like I, like what we were doing with in our family, like, yes. Okay, well, we'll just go sometimes.
Yeah. Or even denial too.
Denial.
Yeah, you may stay in denial for a while.
Well, some people do all their life.
And finally.
Yes.
Finally, you may come to acceptance. But what I also hear you say is it causes a lot of cognitive dissonance in your brain. You start thinking about, well, wait a minute. Do I throw away everything they taught me? It reminds me, I'm older than you, okay? So when I was a kid and school lunches, you had to have fish on Friday for the Catholics. They did not eat meat on Friday.
Right.
But all of a sudden, lo and behold,
oh, really?
That law or rule changes and it goes away. And hey, now we're allowed to eat meat on Friday.
Wow.
So what does that mean in your mind? Was it a cardinal sin or whatever, you know, and now it's not? And so same thing, you might start questioning everything that you were taught. Was it true? If this is the case, then maybe that wasn't true. And, you know, and then you start stacking it all in your mind.
It is so troubling that I think, what have we been fighting for? You know, trying to preserve our faith and volunteer and help. I mean, we've helped so many kids. With meals and volunteering, being part of the finance committee. And, you know, it just feels like such a sham, like the whole thing for me, that I just, it's hard to like, well, that's why I just, it's the final straw for me, but it isn't for a lot of people. And I just think it's very hard to even talk about it because now, you know, the last straw is now I lost my whole faith community and all the practices and routines and, you know, all that is just thrown up in the air.
Right. So that is grief. You are grieving all of that. So you are in grief. Maybe if you could name it for what it is, that would help you to come to terms with it. But, you know, one thing I really can say from the outside that I love about Catholicism is the giving, is the true Christianity, whatever you want to call it, the real feeling. I feel like Christian charities and, you know, Catholic charities, right? They seem to really be some of the best in the world. I would hate that to go away.
Exactly. And I just want to say a little comment here on what Debbie has been saying just a couple of minutes ago here. She said, like, you might start even questioning what you were taught. And that's so true because, Nancy, if you trust me and you discover at the end of the day that I have been lying to you a lot, you know, or lying other people's, now you may start questioning even every single thing I told you before, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, like, what is it now? If these persons can't behave, or if they are criminals, everything they've been teaching me since my childhood, is it correct? Is it right? Or is it just another kind of a masquerade going on here? Or they were just presenting me these good things in order to seduce me, quote unquote, you know?
Yeah, right.
So that's what makes it so difficult for a lot of people, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not only the body of the church, it's not only the clergy. Even the message that was brought by the clergy itself as an entity can be put to doubt now.
And they're giving you communion. And allowing only, remember, it used to be only certain, like if you were ever divorced, you couldn't go to communion.
Yes.
And I'm like, they're the ones, you know, who are telling us these things.
You know?
And I'm like, they have created these horrific crimes.
Yes. So it's so big.
It is. It's really big.
It's big. It's not only the priests. It's even the teaching itself in general that's put to question right now. That is, that can be questioned in the minds of so many people. And this is going almost silently, you know, you don't think about it, but it's happening.
Yeah.
Within you.
Right.
You know?
It's in our thoughts every day.
It's in your thoughts, it's in your subconscious. It's going on there. You know, your mind starts questioning just about everything that's related to the church, to their teaching and to the priests as well.
Yeah. Like all the rules that they set up.
Oh, yeah.
Where did all they come from, you know?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, if they've been able to lie to us for this amount, okay, how much should we trust in everything that they brought to us, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I started with something very innocuous, something like eating meat on Fridays. That, you know, like, what's the difference? Okay, is that a sin or not? But then let's look at some of the other things. So you're bringing up, Nancy, divorce. Okay, there have been people who have stayed in terrible marriages because they were not allowed to get divorced. So let's look at also birth control. They were not allowed to do anything but have children, make more babies. They weren't allowed to use birth control. They weren't allowed to have abortions. So then they could get excommunicated for that. And then let's look at just in general, sex and money. Those are two things. Money is the root of all evil, right? So
we're taught that, and they're the ones with them so much money. Oh my God.
Exactly. And now we're talking about sex. They're the ones up there telling you all not to have sex. And they have taken a vow of celibacy, which they have not asked anybody else to do. But you're under the assumption that they're living by that vow. And now they're blowing that up. And you're finding out that it's all been a lie while they've been telling you to tithe to the church and, you know, and not show off having a lot of money. They're the ones who have a lot of money in Rome. Oh my God, at the Vatican and every church.
Yeah.
And they're telling you not to have sex, that it's for procreation, not recreation, that you can't stop the child from being born in any way, either prophylactically or afterward. And they are doing all sorts of lies. And I think we're going to get into the seven big lies.
Right, exactly. And Mike and I talked about it last week and for our listeners, but I think it's good to hear your perspective on what this means from a psychological perspective. Because part of the way a person works through or can work through grief is to discern for themselves. So what's real? What's not real? What was I taught? What still makes sense in the teachings? And how do I want to carve out my life from here?
So when you talk about grief, you're not talking about literally someone dying. You're talking about like the church, the idea of the church dying. Is that what you're actually talking about there with the grief?
A personal grief, and also I feel like we're going through as a country just is so much turmoil. That I think our whole country is going through different elements of grief, of trying to get our heads around exactly, like if we just look at the hashtag MeToo situation. So, you know, Tarana Burke had this movement, MeToo movement going on for like 10 years. And then a celebrity came about who shared on Twitter her hashtag Me Too, and then that went viral a year ago. And right. So people are having, I think we're all like getting information of how the journey to recover from sexual assault is not just, it's not just having sex. It's the psychological toying with and the manipulation and the grooming. I just feel like we've all been groomed. Everyone has been touched by the Catholic faith. All the schools and so I just feel like as a global society, we're all kind of grieving how horrific this has been for so many people, and the numbers, they keep growing. So I just feel that there's elements of grief that we're all experiencing because the awareness of sexual abuse is right. We're reckoning with what that is doing to our whole society.
And it goes across the board, so you don't have to just look at Catholic if you're going to bring up Me Too, but you'll notice that in every instance it has to do with power. And your field is the workplace. And of course, the people in power are the ones that are having sex with those who need the jobs and making them be quiet about it, sign NDAs, or, you know, be in fear of losing their position. And, you know, Hollywood, the old casting couch, again, it's people in power. Politics, it's people in power. Lawyers, judges, doctors, it's almost always people in power, whether it's a church, it's institutional. Right now, it's like the walls are falling down. Those institutions are being seen through the cracks that they have tried to put forth of all these men in suits who have been running everything. And suddenly, you know, we're seeing them a little bit more naked.
Yeah. And so right, exactly. So the recommendations... I'm wondering.
Can I just say one thing?
Go ahead.
You asked about psychological. So there's just two psychological terms I want to bring up right now, and those are projection and the shadow. Okay. Yeah. So I'm not sure if you understand those two. They're very similar, but the show that, let's say, priests or, you know, anyone in power want to let people see is, here I am, aren't I magnificent? You know, I know everything and you are learning at my feet. And I am telling you that sex is bad, that, you know, whatever they're teaching is one thing. That's the ego show that they're putting on. But then in the shadow is all the things they're hiding. And then they can even project it onto others. If you are having sex, you are a sinner. If you got pregnant before you were married, you're a sinner. Right? Well, yeah. They're doing it. So those two terms are the psychological terms that I want to talk about. Is the fact they're projecting their own sins onto others. They're putting them outside of themselves. And that by projecting themselves as all perfect, they're putting everything else about themselves into their shadow. And that's how their shadow is being projected on everyone else.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So when you read through the grand jury report, what do you think would be... the most constructive way that we could kind of talk about this for those of us in leadership roles? Do you want to go through them quickly? We have about 5 minutes in this conversation.
I just used like one word kind of for all of them. You know, they use euphemisms to make it sound better.
Yeah.
Inappropriate contact or boundaries. They went past their boundaries. No, they were raped. They were you know, they were actually touching people's bodily parts or making them touch theirs, but they don't say so. They use euphemisms.
Yeah, so there's seven ways that, or the what they call the playbook for concealing truth. There's seven ways that the church has been doing this for decades.
Trying to make this scene sound less
sinful.
Less sinful.
Not a crime.
Yeah. And I guess the overarching one that they start with is that the main thing was not to help the children, but to avoid scandal. They said that was the word that came up like thousands of times. They didn't want anything to be scandalous. And again, so that they could protect themselves. Seem holier, better. They're closer to God. They, you know, get to keep their position and their money. And they can throw everybody else under the bus. So, you know, by using euphemisms, number one. By number two, doing everything in-house, we will investigate it ourselves. We don't need anybody else.
Yeah, and they'll do the self-reporting.
Wow.
Yeah, and then number three, they will just tell you what they did. Yeah, right. I will say it with a euphemism that, oh, it was nothing. Maybe I overstepped my boundaries. I'll say three Hail Marys, you know? And then they send them to church, psychiatric places. That'll probably give them, you know, some kind of absolution for what they've done.
You know, it makes so much sense for when I did something wrong, our family would go to a church and my mom would always say, just pray about it. And I, you know, I'm like, yeah, well, she learned that then from the church. I mean, there's so many things that we've like passed on or have been passed on.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
To us like that have come directly from the playbook, which is what also is part of, you know, we were good students. My parents were good students. Yeah. It's just, then, go ahead. And the fourth one.
The fourth one is, again, a euphemism. Don't say why a person is being removed. Just say he's sick or he's, you know, got having a nervous breakdown or exhausted or something. Or don't say anything. Just do it.
Yeah.
Just take him away. Don't tell anyone. If you found them doing it, it reminds me of Sandusky at Penn State. You still give them a house to live in where they can continue doing it on church property like they did for Sandusky at Penn State. They let him be around the locker room with the boys.
Yeah.
Even if they weren't paying him, they let him stay. So same thing. That's why I say it's all institutional.
Yeah.
If you transfer him, you don't tell anybody why. And that's only if it becomes known to the community. If they finally get caught, and this is what I keep saying, you know, the Rihanna song, you're not sorry. You're just sorry you got caught.
Exactly.
And so all they do is they just transfer him to another place and don't tell the place anything about him. He is a nice new, you know, someone to take over your parish for you. And they let him just continue.
And I like the way Dobby talks.
And then the last one is, again, keep it in-house. Don't tell the police, which is the real crime. Because at the end of this is the fact that it is a crime to not report. Therapists lose their licenses over that if they don't report knowing about someone who is, you know, going to harm themselves or has harmed somebody else. They are forced to report that. And yet the church, just, you know, just any old person who has a license has to report it, but the whole institution of the church can get away with murder, basically, and not go to the police, which is illegal.
The murdering of souls. Yes.
Yes.
Well, yes. This has been like a really big conversation, but it feels really good. It feels good to get your insights, Debbie, on how this works psychologically.
I just said it. I love how Debbie talks. She knows how to use the right words, you know. It's, you know, we need that. It's actually curative.
I'm holding back. I'll have to, I'm trying to be good here.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I mean, it's curative because we spend our life looking at the priest like a semi-god. You know, that's the other thing.
Exactly.
We spend our life looking at them like a semi-god to the point that even when they sin so dramatically, we tend to think, oh, maybe there's a mistake. Maybe it's not them. You know, yes, yeah. They are.
Right.
Wow.
That Doubt. Have been blaming
That's
us.
The word. And that was the movie. There was that movie too called Doubt. And that was a good one. Remember?
Yeah, with Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And the man with three names. What's his
right.
name? And you never found out.
Right.
You know, it was called Doubt and it left you with doubt. So that's good, Mike. You keep bringing up that fact, that doubt, that is important because our minds can play tricks with us and we can give them the benefit of the doubt.
Exactly.
So we're at the end of our conversation and I want to just reinforce that you brought up the term cognitive dissonance that happens
yes.
in the brain when we receive this kind of information.
Yes.
That we can
and we have two pieces of information and we don't know what to do with them because they're contradictory. And finally, it can help us shift.
Yes. And projection and shadow. So people who aren't integrated into who they are do a lot of projecting. And in the church...
People with something to hide. Yeah.
Right. That this was part of the playbook. Of concealing mm-hmm. the truth and making us all feel so horrible about ourselves.
Yes. Yes. That's such a shame.
It is such a shame.
It's shaming. And I'll tell you that with therapists, shame is one of the hardest things to heal a client of. It's a slow process.
Yeah.
Because guilt is about something you've done. Shame is about who you are. Your very beingness is not worthy to be on this earth and not because of anything that you've done.
Yeah, it creates such a disconnection. Well,
that's terrible.
What arrived through Amazon in the mail was Lin-Manuel Miranda. He is an award-winning composer, lyricist, and performer. He also was the recipient in 2015 of the MacArthur Foundation Award. He's known for creating Hamilton and In the Heights. He just came out with this book, Good Morning, Good Night, Little Pep Talks for Me and You. And so he has a little good morning, little poem, and then a good night poem. And so I'd like to end today's conversation with a good night. I wish you clarity tonight, clarity of self, clarity of purpose, and a direct line between who you want to be and how to get there. We'll see you next Monday. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Thanks for being here, Mike. Thanks, Debbie Enderman. We're going to have another conversation about this because we're going to go a little deeper and see if we can do a little bit more healing.
I would like to offer just because like what Mike said, just talking, the real deep work I do does take longer, but I'd like to give an offer of just helping you to be able to talk over Skype for 70 minutes for $100.
Oh my gosh, that's so reasonable.
Through Nancy, you can look me up, you can Google me. I'm not that hard to find. Debbie Unterman. And you can get debbieunterman.com.
I'll have your contact information in the show notes.
All right.
That's very good.
Your people.
Great. Thanks for the offer. And we'll see everybody next Monday.